is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.com, proudly nominated for National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano, and alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as...
Googs.
Oh, yeah, let's go, boy. Boys.
We took a week off last week because I was on vacation and I forgot to kind of tell them that like they could do the show without me, but I don't think it mattered.
Yeah, I didn't keep in contact with those two, and I think we were expecting not to do a show anyway, so
yeah.
It's always good to have a little week off for Anthony.
Yeah. It was a well-deserved week off for me, and I guess for you guys, able to have the day off and not record is, you know, pretty nice. But we're back at it. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Obviously, first segment, topical news stories of the week, and, you know, obviously, baseball, you know, season kickstarter. We're now starting to get into the, you know, thick of things with the season after the first couple weeks have passed, and, you know, the Yankees are doing terrible, and the Red Sox are doing great. Who would have thought that would happen?
Baseball.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I'll tell you what, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I mean, we both kind of started, like the Yankees started, okay, like we were 500, then the Red Sox were not playing well at all. Now all of a sudden I see like on Instagram, it's like 9 straight wins. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, where did this come from? I was just like shocked, but you know, props to the Red Sox for, you know, staying with it, you know, finding a way to win games with a team that people thought wasn't going to do much, but you know, with Devers and Bogarts, you know, really, you know, leading the charge and, you know, JD Martinez, you know, trying to, you know, do better than whatever he did last year, because last year was just atrocious for him on more ways than one. It's just, you know, it's great to see for a baseball fan, but not great to see for New York Yankees fans, as the Yankees are off to one of their worst starts in a very long time. Under 500, we have the worst record in the American League. Our team on base percentage is the worst since 1989. And it's just really bad. Friday night, Aaron Boone had a really stern and fiery talk with the club because they got to get their act together. You know, we're not playing good baseball. We didn't play well against the Blue Jays. We're not playing well against the Rays. And these are division rivals and teams that we have to win against. And I know it's early in the season. Yeah. But when we're playing division, you know, teams, as you guys know, those are important games as you move along towards the end of the season, because those matter in where you're seated. Noah, I'll start with you. You went to the game on Friday night and you have some stories to tell. Obviously, they lost that game 8-2, but what was your experience like and what did you see during that game?
So, like we said, that was, I would say it's probably the worst game of the season so far. It's a young season, but it was pretty atrocious. Three errors, one hit for the longest time, and then finally in garbage time, Giancarlo Stanton hits that two-run bomb. But there's just no life in the team. There's just nothing. They're not giving anything right now. And it's sad. I mean, the team, the fans, one person threw a ball onto the field in the eighth, and then they got the ball off the field. In the middle of right about the Rays were going to pitch, somebody threw another ball on the field. And the umps didn't know, and then just kept raining down and it had to stop. And it's wrong, obviously, but the fans are frustrated. This team is playing terrible, and they're lifeless. But a couple stories. So after that happened, with the balls coming on the field, Rougned Odor was up, and he hit a ball right up in the air, right towards me. And it was coming. I was like, holy crap, it's coming towards me. So the ball, it went right in my row into a seat, like 6 seats away. I ran to get it. And there it is, guys.
Wow.
There it is. Robert Manfred, it was pretty cool. I've never had I didn't catch it. If I tried to catch it, I would have fell. I'm athletic all the time. But I did get this. And then after the game, I was outside. I won't say what gate because I don't want to, like, you know, you know, give away my secrets. I'll tell you guys after the show. We were outside and I was talking the person who took us, he had to get something taken care of at the gate. And Michael K walked out and I said, "Hey, Michael." And he's like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" And then John Sterling walked out. We got a picture with him and everything like that. Wow. So it was a really good game. It was a terrible game,
but a great experience.
What a great experience. I mean, that was the craziest game. I've never seen anything like throwing balls on the field and everything, but it was brutal. And listen, I just want to put something into perspective. The Rays are not a better team than the Yankees. They're not. They played the Texas Rangers and lost 3 out of 4. So, but it was a mm-hmm. cool experience. It was a brutal game to watch. So we made it through on Friday, but hopefully we can just pick it up from here.
Yeah, we just got to keep the ball rolling and just look at each day as a brand new day and not look back at the past. But, winning baseball, Sean, I'll start with you. Boston Red Sox, we said it earlier in the show, they're hot right now. They weren't supposed to do this, but they're proving people wrong. What have you seen from this team in the young season after their kind of mediocre start to the season against the Orioles? Because they weren't looking so good. They were losing those games. It wasn't looking good. And all of a sudden, they started ramping up. So what's been the key to their success over the recent couple weeks?
All right. So, start of the season happens. I'm excited. Oh, man, baseball's back, baby. First game gets postponed for the Red Sox. I'm like, great. Just a bad start to the season already. But, I'll put it behind me. That's all right. So then the first few games happens. We're 0-3. I'm like, all right, I'm not watching another game of baseball again this season. And then we win one game. We win two. We win 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm like, after 7, I'm like, okay, I've seen enough. The Red Sox are winning the World Series. Like, what's going on? So, no, never mind. But I don't know. The Red Sox have just been looking really good. I mean, I've seen a lot of things. J.D. Martinez, he's looking like an early candidate for AL MVP. Obviously, probably won't happen with the type of hitter that he is. But I saw something, I forgot if it was on Twitter, Instagram, but it's very true. You can't really judge a player like J.D. Martinez on such a short season that they had last year. Because, he's a streaky hitter. And if he can't get it going there, I mean, there's not enough games to, really say, oh, he had a terrible season because he didn't have enough time to get it going again. And I mean, he's shown that, whatever he had in 2018 where he was, leading the league in RBIs, did he lead the league in home runs that year?
I can't remember. He might have. I don't remember.
But I'm not sure.
I know he was up there.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, he's just exploded to start off the season, along with Devers too. I mean, Devers, he's hit a home run, or I believe the streak ended, but he hit a home run in like 5, 6.
Yeah,
streak.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're just getting a lot of production from some of the guys that didn't necessarily step up completely in the last few seasons. Alex Verdugo, he has been killing it in the last few games. So it's really cool to see him really start producing because if we got nothing out of that Mookie trade, I might have just hung up the baseball cleats forever. Not the baseball cleats, but
How's Chris Sale doing? Or is he still?
Sale's not playing. He's not. He is, we get him back. I'd say I'm not exactly sure when, probably halfway through the season.
Ooh, all right. No, I still got ways to go to get him back, but.
That's another thing that's really good for us. Our pitching is really good. I mean, we got guys like Eduardo Rodriguez, who's pitching really well. Garrett Whitlock, he's pitching very well right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to mention, we have a guy that's in the minors right now. He's looking really good. And then we also have Chris Sale coming back when he does. So a lot of things pointing in our direction right now.
No, yeah, that's good. No, I'm glad for, for you, just for you, Sean, as a fan, and Jimmy and your uncle and Nico.
Yeah.
Everybody else, I'm not happy for. But yeah,
look. And I hate to say, I'm sorry for you and Noah and Coop, but for everyone else, I'm loving it. I am loving it right now.
I know you are. But before we go to a break, Don, your Padres. No, obviously they were heavy favorites to, make some serious noise this season. They're making serious noise. They have a big series against the Dodgers Friday night. It was a battle. They unfortunately lost that battle in extra innings due to Corey Seager's monstrous home run shot. But, you know, you got to like what they're doing so far this season.
Sort of. It's been back and forth. But by the way, Corey Seager is so fun to watch. I'm just going to say that now. Dodgers have a keeper unless he goes to the Yankees or something because he grew up a Yankees fan. That's a fun fact. So he'll be a free agent. But, yeah, the Padres have been on and off. They split the Pirates series 2-2, but they were great in game 1 and 4. The bats are starting to kind of come alive, and the pitching has looked much better. Blake Snell's been struggling, but, you know, it's a long season. We finally got 162 back. We're going to see what he does in future games. I believe he pitches today, if I'm not mistaken, on the last game that they play. So it should be a good one. And, yeah, the Padres, they're a little on and off, but you got to try and get a couple of games out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, obviously, you know, Tatis came back Friday night. You know, he played really well. It's good to see because that when he took that swing, it looked like he was going to be off for a couple months. But it's good to see him, you know, hit that home run. It's like, all right, he's back to doing what he does best.
And realize one thing, boys. He now has, like, that two-handed motion. So he puts a lot less strain on that front shoulder. It's no longer that one-handed floppy fish swing like a lot of guys do. It's more that two-handed. It kind of ease up on the front shoulder. So he hit a moonshot, but also, yeah, he has more of a two-handed swing, so let's hope that is for the better.
Yeah, I think that is for the better. I feel like a lot of people, I feel like that can happen. I mean, yeah, one-handed finishes do look cool, but, like, you're more susceptible to injury when you do that. But, yeah, you know, it's good to see that your teams are winning, and it's just a matter of time before the Yankees get it going. I don't know when they'll get it going. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, that meeting that Aaron Boone had with the team livens them up, and they win the next, you know, couple of games and really start to get it going because it's not looking good for them. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, it's this day in sports history for April 18th. What will we talk about? You'll find out in the next segment only on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com live from the Ryan University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as
Goose. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty solid, not gonna lie. So segment two, obviously, it's this day in sports history. And obviously we haven't really been talking about a lot of hockey in the recent weeks, but nevertheless, this day in sports history has to do with hockey, has to do with not only the Rangers, but also the greatest hockey player to ever live, Wayne Gretzky. As on this day in 1999, Wayne Gretzky plays his last game in the NHL as a New York Ranger, as the team lost 2-1 to the Pittsburgh Penguins in his final game. So for all you Ranger fans, hockey fans, Wayne Gretzky, obviously he's the clear-cut GOAT, no questions asked. No one will take that away from him. Dom, I'll start with you.
I will soon. No, Gretzky was a great player, but back in the heyday, goalies were not that great. It was very limited. I think Gretzky was a fantastic player. However, during the end of his time with the Rangers, you know, he kind of was doing his thing, but that was really it. And the Rangers can proudly say that they had Wayne Gretzky on their team. But I will counter that by saying I think there's going to be some player that's going to beat him as the best player of all time.
Noah?
That's a hot take by Dom right there.
That is.
That is a, I like it.
Never,
I like it.
He could never get the puck off the ice.
You know what? Dom is right in the sense that it's going to be hard to overtake those stats. I mean, you know, he had what? I'm looking 583 goals, 1,000, over 1,000 assists. Like, you know, he was just a point. He was a scoring machine. And he's definitely right now the greatest player of all time. But it's going to be hard to overtake because, like Dom said, it was a different game. The padding was different. The way goalies played, it's just a different game.
The goalies just stood there. But you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely different. But right now, it's going to be hard to beat that. You know, especially the stats. But we have two players right now that are. That are on the level of Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin, who are just awesome players, who are Hall of Famers easily. So we'll see what happens. But Wayne Gretzky as a Ranger, you know, he was towards the end of his career, but it was cool to see the 99 in blue, red, white, and blue. So that's cool.
Yeah, and then Sean, you know, obviously Noah brought up Ovechkin and Crosby. For modern day hockey, do they have a legitimate shot to overtake Gretzky, or is it kind of like no one will really be able to overtake him? And then once you're finished done answering that question, overall Rangers, what do you think of them so far over the last couple of games that they played? Obviously, you went to the game a couple nights ago against the Devils. They beat them 3-0. They play them again on Saturday. So what have you seen so far from this team? So those are the two questions I pose for you.
Yeah, put a lot on my plate here, Anthony. Jeez.
Sorry.
No, but honestly, I don't think anybody's going to catch Gretzky. The one who's closest, it's obviously Ovechkin. But, he's got to play until he's, like, 50 if he wants to catch that, to be honest. Like, I mean, he's pretty close. I know we've talked about it before on the show. Uh-huh. But like I said, it's just, like – I think it's one of those unreachable.
It's like the Kyle Ripken streak. It's unreachable.
I really think that it's unreachable again because what you guys said, like it's just a different, you know, day and age. Like you really think you were seeing like 1-0 game finishes back in the day like that? Like no, goals were going in constantly, especially with Gretzky on the ice. He was just better than everybody else. It was like Wilt. Like Wilt put up insane numbers because the game was different back then. Again, mm-hmm. a lot of his stats are unreachable, probably for the same reason. And then to get into the Rangers, Dom, we're talking about this a little bit over our hour break that we took in between.
in between segments, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of people saying that the Rangers season might be a little, as we expected to do. But then again, you got to remember we're the youngest team in the league. And again, this is another conversation that we've had countless times on the show. You know, we have like freaking like six guys that are under like 21, if that is probably more. I mean, you got guys like Hedl, who's young, Kaapo Kakko, Lafreniere, obviously, Kravtsov, Keandre Miller. I mean, the list keeps going. Like, yep. I mean, you got to give these guys time to develop. And, you know, a lot of people were expecting Lafreniere as a one to come out, you know, right into the league as Connor McDavid, which, like, you know, you got to give him time. Okay. Like, okay, some people do, you know, have crazy starts to their career, but some people, you know, it's got to gradually get better. And we've been seeing that. So far, I mean, Lafreniere, he started a little slow, but he's been ramping up pretty fast. I mean, he had like 4 goals in like a span of like, I forgot exactly how many games, but I mean, he's been playing well. And it's not even just, you know, how many goals, how many assists can he get. It's, you know, how well does he look or how good does he look on the ice? And he's been looking good, and not just him too. Kaapo Kakko's been looking good. Kravtsov, he's only played like a handful of games, but I mean, he's been looking really good. At the game that I went to, he set up Zibanejad with that beautiful pass for the breakaway, and then Zibanejad scored. So I was sick to see in person. And by the way, the Rangers fought twice that game, and they lost both pretty bad. That was pretty funny to see. But like I said, Rangers, they look all right. What do you guys think about the Rangers so far this season?
Dom, you go.
Yeah, I'll go. You know, and Adam Fox for a Vezina trophy would be really nice to see. He's one of the top defensemen besides Victor Hedman right now. Like every play, even defensively speaking, he is just out there on the ice like a mad dog. Assist-wise, he's been very good. I really like what this team's doing, and we talked about this, and I'll let Noah say it because of defense has been good. Keandre Miller's really stepped up, and he's really understanding the game off or on the puck. So I really like what he's got. I think we learned that Shesterkin, I've always liked him more. I think he's going to be the future starting goaltender for the Rangers. And no problem if Georgiev's the backup. I think that's a fantastic option. And Keith Kincaid's been a good third string, and he's been funny with his little tweets and every time the Rangers win. So this team, you know, everyone thinks of it as just, oh, it's Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad that just carry you guys. But no, it's a lot of young movement that you see these kids – you know, going up and up and potential right before your eyes. It's so fun to watch. Filip Hedl had a beautiful assist the other day. That was a great pass. And Artemi Panarin's on another level. I really want to get his jersey because he's in for another 6-7 years. So, exactly. All right, by the way, Sean, I'm thinking, do I get the home jersey or do I get the alternate with the navy blue? And no, that goes to you too.
Reverse retro?
Yeah.
I think the reverse retro is so sick. I actually have a funny story. So for Christmas, I was like, all right, Mom, I'd really like to get
Santa.
So she gets me one. She gets me an Artemi Panarin one, which is sick. I love it, right? It's totally legit. She goes, yeah, and I got you another one too. I'm like, what? You got me two? She's like, yeah, I got you a Panarin one, and I got you Alexi Lafreniere one. I was like, what? Like, no way. She's like, yeah, but that one's going to take a little bit to come. So I'm like, oh, cool, cool, whatever. Like, thank you so much. You didn't even have to get me to. So, you know, a week passes by. It finally comes in the mail. I'm like, let's go. I can't wait to wear this everywhere. I open the package. It's the most bootleg jersey I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's the same color and everything, but literally it had the word Rangers written across the front like it was a basketball.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You gotta show it. Wait, we can post it on Instagram.
Yeah.
You gotta show that. That's so funny.
Oh, that's terrible.
Especially for hockey, like NBA, that's why you can't do
That's why I try to stay away from those China websites with those alternate jerseys because you don't know what you're gonna get.
All right, so this is this is a regular Rangers jersey.
Yeah,
this is what it should look like.
Yeah. Oh, those are so nice. I think I want the regular blue.
And then,
oh god,
see this jersey? It looks like all right.
Oh, that's a little. Okay. The back looks good.
Yeah, the back's fine.
The back is red on the other one. But then,
I'm scared.
We get the front of the jersey.
Oh no! It's like two backs.
What the heck? Yeah.
It looks like a basketball jersey.
Oh, that is good.
I love it.
Starting at shooting guard, number 13, Alexi Lafreniere.
It's MSG. I gotta say, what you guys said is really right, though. Sean, Dom, you guys hit the nail on the head. A couple things. Kreider, I think, has to start picking it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think he's been a little non-existent lately. I think Ryan Strome has played great hockey lately.
That's right.
I think he's just moving the puck really well, really crisp. And, it's one of those things. We've said it countless times. Like you said, Sean, this team's really young. They have players that are figuring it out. Lindy Ruff is an absolute jerk for taking that goal away from Kratsov the other night.
Mm-hmm.
4-0 game, and you have to challenge that offside.
I was very upset to see that.
Yeah, I know. Me and Dom were talking before that, but, it's okay. We'll figure it out. It's okay that we don't make the playoffs. We just need one more piece, like I said during the break. We'll be all right. So I'm confident.
Now, Noah, what do you think that piece is for the Rangers?
I think it's either one other defenseman or like another offensive, doesn't have to be a crazy offensive player, but somebody who can add something, a second or third liner that can add something a little more to the team, maybe a little more experience too. We need somebody that has that Stanley Cup kind of experience, maybe like a Phil Kessel, but maybe not that exact level, but somebody who has that Stanley Cup experience. That's what I would say.
I like it.
And real quick, because I know we got to wrap this up. This has been a long second. So we're chasing Boston, right? We're like 3 games behind them. What do? They go and trade for Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
We get him for next to nothing.
Big move, too. Big move.
Like, I mean, come on. It's like we looked like we had a good chance. And then what does he do? He goes, he scores 2 goals in his first 2 games. And, I mean, it's
now he's trying, of course. Yeah. So,
yeah.
That, he has 3 goals on his season, right? He's played like I don't think he's missed a lot of games for Buffalo. He scored 1 goal for them. He plays 2 goals for Boston, or 2 games for Boston. He scores 2 goals.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just so
it's crazy. It's just crazy. We'll
figure it out. It's crazy. It's crazy.
At least the Rangers' future is bright in New York, unlike the Yankees. But you know,
yes, I would. I'm more confident in that team.
Yeah, I would be too. I so would be too.
That's scary.
Like Artemi Panarin getting that bat over Aaron Hicks right now.
Yeah. And by the way, Hicks. He batted third in Saturday's order.
Why? Why?
It's bad. I don't know why
he should have never signed him to that extension. I'm telling you that right now.
I watched him go 0-for-4. Exactly, Dom. They should never sign him. I mean, give me a break. It's so ridiculous. Cashman tells Boone to do. I know we're over, but Cashman tells Boone what to do, and he just does it. I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah, literally. But we gotta take a quick break. When we come back, it's the third segment, game of the week. What game of the week will we be talking about? You'll find out on the third segment, only on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Ryder University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colsano, and alongside me today is Don DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs. So last two segments, we talked about, you know, news of the week. Basically, we talked about baseball, and then we did Wayne Gretzky and a little Ranger talk. Now, segment three is the game of the week, and Thursday night, it's going to be another East Conference showdown between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Philadelphia 76ers. Last week, there was an Eastern Conference showdown between the Nets and the Sixers, but none of the Nets starts played. We only lost by, I think it was like 7, but I feel like this one will be better. Giannis will be healthy. He'll probably be playing Middleton, and everyone else will be. So this will be a good game. It'll be a battle of the bigs, Giannis versus Embiid, the battle of defensive point guards, Ben Simmons versus Jrue Holiday. And this is another matchup that could potentially be, you know, a playoff matchup, you know, Eastern Conference finals matchup between the two teams. You know, obviously the Sixers are looking really well. The Bucks are kind of on and off. They are, however, sitting third in the East, obviously with the Nets being second. You know, but, you know, Sean, I'll start with you. Obviously, you know, you had to be tuning into that Net game on Wednesday night. You know, what did you see from the Philadelphia 76ers during that game?
So the Sixers, what I saw from them was pretty bad execution, to be honest. I mean, they were up big pretty much the entire time. And again, they're going up against a Net team without KD, without Harden. I believe Blake didn't play.
Yep.
And then Aldridge didn't play, but we found out why shortly after.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, they were expected to win big. I believe the spread was like 9 or something.
It was -9.
Yeah. So, like I said, they were expected to win big. And then the fourth quarter rolls around. Yeah, they're playing well. They were up pretty big. And everybody was letting you hear it too, by the way. That was pretty bad.
Yep.
But so the fourth quarter runs around. And the Nets bench just goes on a complete run, right? The game's within like 2.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter.
Yeah.
Like with 5 minutes left, and they stay on the floor. The Nets starters did not come back into that game once. I was baffled. I mean, I was texting you, where the heck are the starters right now? They're just, they literally, if the starters came back out, you guys could have won that game.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know what was going through Steve Nash's mind.
I think what went through his mind is I think he knew. I mean, personally, I don't know why Kevin Durant sat out that game, because he played in the Minnesota game and we demolished them Tuesday, and then Wednesday just not playing. I know it's a back-to-back, yada, 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 but he hasn't been playing in 2 months, so there is no excuses for that. And but I just feel like, I think at that point, if Kevin Durant wasn't playing, I feel like he was just like, and James Harden obviously is out with the hamstring injury, and he will be back soon, just making great progress. But I feel like he was just like, all right, if we lose, we lose. It's not the end of the world. And to, I guess for him to see the bench do what they did and to get us back into that game, I feel like he's wanted to ride on and see what they can do. And to kind of give them that confidence that, like, okay, we're not going to take you out. You guys are going to finish this game. Maybe that's what his intention was. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, like, I was proud of them of what they were able to do. Okay, yeah, we lost the game. Whoop-de-doo. We're second in the East. Oh, my God. But I feel like, you know, It was an overall good game. Obviously, basically, the whole Sixers team is revolved around Embiid. When Embiid plays well, that team plays well, you know? And then when he's not, it's really, Tobias Harris really has to step up. And Ben Simmons offensively really has to step up too. And Ben Simmons made that really bold statement about how there's one ball in that offensive juggernaut team and you got to play defense. And, you know, now people are coming in like, all right, yeah, they're offensive juggernaut, but like, you can't play offense. Now, I know we've had this conversation with Ben Simmons about how, look, he's got to, you know, with obviously our good friend Ryan Reynolds of the show about how, you know, he doesn't need to be this offensive player. But, you know, with that statement, he's like, okay, then why aren't you that offensive kind of player then? Why aren't you offensive juggernaut that you can be? You've been in the league for how many years? 4 or 5 years? Where is that? You know, I you know, you can't say that and then, you know, not reap the consequences of like, okay, yeah, there's one ball. Yeah, you're a great defender, but you can be a great offensive player too. You know, you could work on that too. It's all about working on your game. So, so that's my take throughout that whole, you know, what he said, that overall game. And it's going to be a great series if we do match up with them. It's going to be probably the talk of NBA when we face each other. And if we face each other, you know, in the playoffs. But let's get back, you know, to the Bucks. The Bucks are sitting third. In the East, they're kind of on and off. Giannis has been injured these last couple of games with the nagging knee injury. However, they are staying afloat, which is good. But honestly, it's kind of scary for them because I see in the group chat of how, you know, a couple more wins and the Knicks become the fourth seed. And you're like, oh, okay, that could be interesting because then they're right behind the Bucks. So it can make it kind of enticing for the East. And that'd be great for the Knicks to become a fourth seed in the East. Becoming a team that basically people thought, all right, an 8th seed, great, they could be a play-in team, but now you guys are like legitimate. All right, we're gonna be in the playoffs, which is great. Obviously, I see Noah raise his hand. Noah, what's your question?
I just wanted to point out too, both teams, the Bucks and the 76ers, this schedule coming up for them. If you looked, they both have to play the Suns. Mm-hmm. The 76ers have to play the Warriors, Suns, Bucks, and then the 76ers played the Sun, or they play the Bucks twice. So this week is huge games for both teams that again could be playoff implications. So that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to say that it's coming down to it. This week's going to be a big week in basketball. And the other thing, quickly, I we're just getting a lot of injuries that are just really taking teams to their breaking point almost. The Lakers with AD and LeBron and Giannis, and there's just a bunch of those mm-hmm. injuries that are really affecting how the season, the outlook of the season. So
yeah, and obviously, yeah, we have that. Donovan Mitchell went down with a scary injury. Obviously, he's okay for the most part, but he's going to be out for a good amount of time. And obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge abruptly had to retire, and everyone's like, "You got to be kidding me! Like, what now?" And then obviously, people were jumping to conclusions, and then everyone was like, "Okay, hold on." It was a valid reason. Irregular heartbeat. He didn't want to risk it anymore. Fair. Understand it. I wish him the best. Had a great career. Solid player.
Question. If the Nets, and this is just hypothetical, if the Nets win a championship, he technically is a part of the team, right?
Yep.
I think so, yes. I think he does get a ring.
Yeah,
so I'm not a fan of that he gets a ring because, let's be real, he played 4 games. It's not worth it. You don't deserve it technically. Now I don't want to be harsh, but right, you played 4 games. You don't deserve the ring. You weren't playing in the playoffs.
You weren't making
contributions. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. Am I being harsh on the guy? Yeah, but like, look, you got to earn that. You know,
yeah, I'm with you on that.
You know, do you want to look at something and do you want to look at a ring and saying like you look at it and you have this ring, but you realize that you didn't do anything to deserve it?
It's like Anderson, it's like saying, Varejao.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who it was. I was
yeah, Anderson Varejao, no matter what, in that 2017 season, no matter what, he was gonna get a ring.
He was getting one.
Crazy.
Wait, who was the Toronto Raptor that got like 3 rings in a row because he went to Golden State and then Toronto where they beat the Warriors? Oh man. I can't remember.
Patrick McCaw?
Yeah. You got it. There we go. What about him? He's better than Michael Jordan, please. End of discussion.
That's a bold, another bold statement by Dom DeRosa.
Oh, I never said my state. I think Ovechkin's going to be the best player of all time. I forgot to mention that. So there you go. That's who I think is going to be. Crosby has too many injuries.
That is true. Krajicek, yeah, Krajicek does get injured a lot.
And he's a baby.
I will say he is a whiny baby, especially when he's younger. I know it's a different subject. Look at his stats, though. With less games, he is right on Crosby, or right on Ovechkin's tail point-wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Crosby is just, listen, he's a stud. He is just, and he's 33, he played since he was 18. They're both of them, great players. I'm just saying, he's great. So, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
How about McDavid, though? I mean, I know he's in his career, but I mean, oh, man, he's got a bright future.
Besides Artemi Panarin, I'm a huge McDavid fan. I would love to say he's on pace to be the best player of all time, but I think it's a little too early. I really wish he never got injured that rookie season because he was still going off. So, dude, he's such a stud. He is a point machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good point.
And as we slightly get off topic, thank you, Don, for
no
that.
Problem. That's what I like to do best.
Of course. But, you know, really quickly before we go to break, I mentioned the Knicks, you know, they're like in the midst of the East. They could be becoming fourth, you know, Sean. You know, if they do end up being the fourth seed, how proud will you be of this Knicks team and what they have been able to do? And then what will you expect from them in the playoffs? Obviously, you'd like them to win a series, but right, win or lose, you got to know that, like, all right, good things are coming for you guys in the Garden.
All right. So hear me out here. If we're the four seed, which, by the way, if we end up as the four seed, I mean, I'll be beyond excited. This is a Knicks team that we haven't seen perform well since, like,
2013, 2014.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just fun to see them be competitive again. That's all I ask for. Even if we don't make the playoffs, as long as we're competitive, that's cool. But since we are in the conversation, though, if we can kind of float around that 4 or 5, that's the magic number for us, 4 or 5, I think we'll win a playoff series. I don't think we can take the Nets, the Sixers, or I don't know. I feel like those are the only two teams that we – kind of couldn't beat right now.
You can beat the Bucks.
I honestly think we could beat the Bucks.
Okay.
If you stop Antetokounmpo, you're beating the Bucks.
Exactly. And you know what? I think we're undefeated against the Bucks this season so far.
Yeah, because right now I'm looking at you guys are the sixth seed. You're 30-27. Boston and Atlanta are ahead of you by only a half a game. They're 30-26. So, you know. You could be the fourth seed. You could be playing Boston. Imagine Boston, New York. That'd be a fun matchup. That'd be fun.
I think we could beat Boston. The only other team that I'm kind of scared of is Miami,
because they're like a dark horse too.
Exactly. We struggled against Miami so far in the regular season. The Nets, no way. There's no way we could beat them. You guys are too superstar strong right now. Sixers too. They're just, I mean, you know, same thing with them. Joel Embiid is unstoppable this year, by the way. MVP, probably, in my opinion, MVP.
It's him versus Jokic. Because with him going down, Jokic was able to make up some serious headway. So that's why it's like it's those two for the taking. I don't know who's gonna win it. It was Embiid until he got hurt, but now it's a toss up. Yeah. Either one deserves it.
And then Milwaukee, again, like I said, I mean, I know the one game we beat them without Giannis and we barely edged by them. We literally got rid of Giannis and they brought on his brother, Thanasis, and then he torched us.
He snapped that game. I remember that. Yeah.
So, again, if you can just put a body on Giannis, and Mitchell Robinson's done a good job of guarding him on the year, but he's injured right now. Who knows? I think I like our chances against them, though.
All right. Well, gotta have optimism. That's all I gotta say. You gotta be optimistic, and you know it's good that you and all the Knicks fans are Hugh, Malcolm, Chris, Brett, Brian, Coop. All you guys are very optimistic. So, it's exciting. But we gotta take a quick break. When we come back, fourth and final segment of the show is gonna be our lock of the days, both for sports betting and beat the streak. Me and Sean, we'll talk about that, and we'll give our locks as we wrap up this show only on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
107.7 The Bronx, 107.7thebronx.com, live from the Ryder University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colsano. And alongside me today, it's Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as...
Goons!
Oh, yeah!
So it's the final segment of the show, and obviously that means it's our lock of the day, so we'll give our lock for both a specific bet that we have, and also for this new thing that me and Sean have been doing. It's called Beat the Streak. What it is it's basically a, you can download the app, it's free. You have to be 21 and over, however, to play. And what it is if you, for baseball fans, obviously Joe DiMaggio had the iconic 56-game hitting streak that is basically another likely unreachable record to be broken. And so there's this app where you pick a player every day to get a hit. And if you get a hit, you start this so-called hitting streak. And the goal is to do it 56 or 57 consecutive times. And if you do, you win the grand prize. Now you might think, oh, that's easy. I just pick one guy to get a hit. That's not too hard. Okay, yeah. Okay, sure. But, you know, not all the time are like stars like Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, Christian Yelich, Jose Abreu. They're not always going to get hits. They'll have their days where they'll go 0-for-4. You might pick that day. And therefore, if you do, your streak goes back down to zero and you got to start up again. So me and Sean have been doing it. Sean, unfortunately, had a big streak at like 9 or 10. Corey Seager obviously ruined that for him. I had a streak at 5. David Peralta ruined that one for me. I started one up again recently. I'm up to 3 now. Going to go for 4. But Sunday, Sean, you have a lock, a pretty big lock for this Beat the Streak. And who is it?
All right. So my lock, usually, you know, you guys know I'm not that biased when it comes to sports, but JD Martinez is going to be my lock. I mean, this man's is on fire. We were talking about it earlier. He's leading the league, I believe, in extra base hits in RBIs. I'm not exactly sure. It might have changed in the last few days as well. But for Sunday the 18th, he is going up. They have a doubleheader. I believe the first leg of the doubleheader is against Dallas Keuchel. And, you know, Martinez just, he slugs in lefty versus righty. I mean, he is right where he wants to be. It's right in his wheelhouse. And not only am I saying he's going to get a hit, I am calling right now. I'm calling my shot like Babe Ruth. He's going deep.
In game, and this is game one of two of that series?
Yes.
All right. All right. Well, I will be doing that one. As well, so I will be picking JD Martinez as well. We hope you guys do too. If anyone that's listening does decide to play Beat the Streak, you download it on all your mobile apps. And for our lock of the day, I was scrolling through some NBA games this week, and I do like a game that's happening. I believe it's on Tuesday night. Let me just double check. It is Tuesday night, the 20th. Hornets versus the Knicks. I like the Knicks. Why? Hornets are basically depleted. They're injured. Gordon Hayward out, LaMelo Ball out, Devontae Graham I think is still out. You know, the Knicks are playing well. I would bet the spread on this one for the Knicks to cover that. So those are our locks. Jaden Martinez today to get a hit, not only get a hit but also get a home run, according to Sean, and also Tuesday on April 20th for the Knicks to beat the Hornets and to cover. And finally, as we wrap up the show, our grievances. 2 weeks ago, we talked about our grievances because there's been little rumblings going on in our little group. Obviously, Noah all the time doesn't want to answer his phone calls whenever we call him. And obviously, Dom, you have a little something to say because we saw your Snapchat story on Friday night. Wasn't too happy with that, my friend.
Well, something about the Yankees.
Yeah, and we can't say what you said over the air, but it wasn't very nice because we don't say that about your San Diego Padres, now do we?
No, you don't. Well, you and John came up to me and you said my team sucks on the first opening day, so we won't talk about that. But you know, I love you guys.
We only did it once. You did it not only once. We did it twice.
That's true. It's not you guys. I think we talked about this before. You guys.
Can I do a reading of his statement?
If it's allowed.
I won't forget the word. Ray, still your beep. LMA. Great message, Tom. Kids, our country to give them what am I saw two Yankees fans. They were crying last night at your message. I showed it to them at the Yankee game. On Friday night.
Yeah, dong. How does that make you feel?
We're going to talk about this, right? You two as Yankee fans are great because you guys are fun. You're not like Chris, who was on our show recently, a little delusional. So you guys are great.
Chris Witowski.
I hope he's listening.
I don't think he is.
But you guys are great.
I'm not a biased sports fan. He is on the exact opposite of that.
But, you know, you guys are great. I just can't stand the majority of the Yankee fan base, I think, since still 2009. I can't stand Michael Kay. I can't stand the whole organization. I like LeMahieu, but that's it. Judge Tuba when he's healthy.
Yeah. Okay, two things. Don't talk about my friend Michael Kay like that.
I'm sorry.
They're tight now.
They're tight. You're right. I know.
They said hi to each other. That's right.
I'm sorry, Michael.
Two questions or one question, and then we'll get into your problem. You guys' problem with me not answering the phone. Who's worse? And this is an honest question. You answer this honestly, Dom.
Okay.
Who's worse, Yankee fans? And Sean, you can answer this too. Or Philly fans?
Yeah.
Philly fans. Or easy.
Okay.
Philly fans. 100%.
All right, Sean.
I mean, this is probably a little biased, but Yankees fans.
Okay.
Like I said, not you guys, but I mean, like I said, Anthony knows.
Well, we were at that game, and I was just like, why? I was like, why?
Fans hated this Yankees.
Because my mom said, I was like, yeah, if we ever do this again with them, we're going a level lower. So we don't have to deal with those kind of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, all right, so real quick, because we only have a couple more minutes. Noah's grievances. Noah, can you answer your phone? Why don't you answer your phone? I know you're not doing that. You're just laying down. I know you're not doing anything.
I said this the other day. I said, Dom called me once, and he goes, he's like, hey, how you doing? I was like, oh, my God, Dom. I'm laying here watching the Rangers. Like, what are you doing?
I was watching him, too. I'm surprised he answered.
I know he was shocked. He's like, I told him about it because I don't think he knew because he wasn't on the show. And he goes, wasn't. Noah, to be honest with you, I'm shocked that you answered the phone. I was like, yeah, you know, I am, too. I don't know why I did. But we had a great conversation.
We did. I was expecting a voicemail with a little pause. Noah Gugliotta is not available.
Yeah, I know. It's not the best voicemail. No, but listen, I'm lazy. I'm a lazy person. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
me
sorry.
Too, buddy. The corona got me like this.
Well, hey, real quick.
I would just appreciate it if we were to call you and you were to text me saying, I'm busy. Or if you just say, I'm laying down. And as...
Oh crap! No, I missed it. No, Sean.
As Sean just called him, and he missed another phone call.
Okay. Now I can honestly say everybody on this show who has called me, and I've just totally ignored them. I mean, it's crazy. And the other thing is that like I need to be better with my phone. I do. I get it.
Especially as we graduate, you gotta, you know, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want to say because I don't know people who listen. I don't know who does, but like, people who do, I'm sure they're like, oh, you know, like what are their fights? You know, what are they getting into fights about?
This is one of the tension builders.
We're gonna have this segment I think more often.
Yeah, but this was fun. This is gonna do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. However, it was a great show. It was great to be back.
Clearly, by the way, me and Anthony don't have any grievances because we're
exactly.
Yeah, you guys are tight.
Yeah. No. We've had our little spats, but nothing too major. Nothing that we can't overcome. Actually, they've been pretty minimal.
For sure. Yeah,
I would say
good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's gonna do it for this episode of the Sports Fever. If you want to follow us on our socials, you can the_Sports_Fever for Instagram, the_Sports_Fever1 on Twitter, and you can give us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. That's gonna do it for us, and we will see you next week on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes Sundays from 12 to 1 on 107.7 The Bronx, and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.